Lincoln Live today is with the chair of the Lancaster County Board, Sean Flowerday. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having me.
So you tell me that COVID is taking up all the bandwidth in your time, all things COVID these days as a county commissioner.
Yeah, I think that about sums it up. I mean, it's just that's about the only real focus. We're spending a lot of time these days just figuring out sort of the community response, what budget impacts it's going to have, what impacts it has to county staff. And, you know, we did the continuity of operations planning that I think it's really paid off for us, frankly, and because we've been able to keep most county services operational and most county employees have continued to be able to work either from home or in some kind of, you know, off schedule capacity or something like that, and just keeping essential services running. So, but it's been COVID 24/7 on our end, pretty much.
Now, as a county official, you tell me you are on the Unified Command Team.
So the Unified Command Team is a team. It's Lincoln Fire, it's Lincoln Police, it's the Sheriff's Office, it's the County Attorney, it's the members from the City Attorney's Office, you know, and the Health Department kind of is running the whole thing. Obviously, the Mayor is there and is kind of is working alongside the Health Department running things. So it's because the Health Department is a joint Health Department, Lincoln and Lancaster County Health Department. They're the ones who are they're the incident commanders is the term. As chair of the county board, I'm one of the members of the Unified Command Team.
When we talked a month ago, not a single inmate or staff member in the County Department of Corrections had tested positive for coronavirus. And now I believe the count is still in single digits for inmate population and for staff. I believe to you and I's best knowledge, it's three inmates and one staff. How is that being handled at the correctional center there?
Yeah, that's correct. So, based on the last time I talked with correctional administrators, which was Saturday afternoon about this, we had three inmates. All of them had been caught during screening. None of them were ever in general population. So the system we have in place is working, and one staff person has tested positive. The health department's been doing contact tracing. As of right now, there's no indication that they tested positive because of contact within the general population. You know, that's obviously the main thing we're trying to prevent here. I mean, it's never good when anybody gets sick, but what you really don't want is what the rest of us call community spread. You really don't want community spread happening within the jail population, and so far we haven't seen that. And that's the upside of it.
I can only guess that it is more difficult to do contact tracing on someone coming into the population than it would be for a member of the general population.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I don't envy the health department staff that have been trying to do that.
That's a whole different crowd when you're doing contact tracing on a prisoner. Sean Flowerday joining me on Lincoln Live. By the way, Sean and I are talking on Wednesday morning, so the three inmate population positive and the one staff positive may change, but that's the number that we have in front of us here at the time of this conversation. Talked with Amy Dickerson of the Lancaster Event Center the other day about additional costs and reduced revenue tied to the National High School Finals Rodeo that comes to Lincoln in July. She said it could take an injection of up to $500,000 to absorb COVID-related costs and to make up for the lost revenue. And I'd like to get your thoughts about the rodeo at the event center.
You know, I was one of the people who voted for the rodeo. I've been very supportive of the rodeo all the way through. I want it to happen. But that said, we can only do it if it's safe. We can only do it if our community is prepared for it. You know, I don't know. We don't know what kind of direct health measures might be in place at that time. Right now, we're looking at reopening for larger groups, but that could possibly change. I have some concerns about it. I'll be honest. You know, I'm nervous about the rodeo happening. That's a lot of people traveling from. You know, I mean, they advertise every state in the country and a whole bunch of international travel as well, all coming into our community, and that. I won't deny that makes me nervous right now. As far as costs go, you know, we've had to the money that the county allocated for the event center in order to be able to secure the rodeo all came out of the visitors promotion fund. That fund has been frozen at the moment because the lodging tax obviously has taken a hit with less people coming into the city, staying in hotels, less travel. Naturally, that fund's taken a big hit, and it's probably going to take a few years to recover. So all the funds, all the money in that fund has been frozen. There's not going to be any more allocations of that. And so, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not sure where that $500,000 is going to come from at the moment. If that's the first time I've heard that number from her.
Sean, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're concerned more so for the health and safety side of pulling off the rodeo than the financial hit and the result of fewer people in the stands and the COVID impact on the rodeo.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the economics of it are disappointing, but I mean, so are the economics of all things COVID, right? I mean, the rodeo is not the only place that's being hurt financially by this. But yeah, I mean, my first concern absolutely is the health and safety, and that's the first place my mind goes when we're talking about bringing in 1,500 people from, like I said, every state in the country.
1,500 participants are looking at a possibility of 5,000 to 6,000 people staying in trailers and RVs and camping on site.
Absolutely. Yeah. 1,500 only the participants. Absolutely.
Right. It's my understanding, too, Australia and Mexico have already indicated strongly that they're not coming, so it would be more of a United States rodeo. Still a big deal. But it's reduced in scale considerably. Post-COVID compared to before this all happened. Sean Flowerday joining me, chair of the Lancaster County Board. Curious, this is a peripheral question, maybe it's way out there, but this is the first time we've talked since the May 12th primary election where sales tax questions were on the ballot in three communities. Waverly's voters approved a temporary sales tax increase to help build a new aquatic center in Rocha. They voted for a sales tax to reduce the reliance on property tax. And in Davie, the village's first sales tax of 1.5%. They really haven't designated where that money's going, but probably for updates, infrastructure maybe. County board have their hand in any of that?
No, we don't. Those sales taxes are just relative to those communities. It's not like creating a JPA, a joint public agency, the way we were talking about doing when we were discussing the wheel tax. So we're not really involved with that directly.
All right, Sean. Final subject I wanted to get your opinion about: Saltillo Road, west portion of South 14th Street in Saltillo, will be closed for about a month for construction of the South Beltway. This will be a topic that you and I will talk about probably for months after during your entire year's term, because everything is changing.
Away.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be ongoing through the entire rest of at the very least this, you know, I mean, my first term term on the county board. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the west portion of 14th Street in Saltillo is closed for about a month. The east side of South 14th in Saltillo will remain open. Traffic has shifted to inside lanes of northbound and southbound Highway 77 for about 5 miles headed south out of Lincoln. The outside lanes are closed. That sounds pretty confusing, but suffice it to say, you can get from here to there. I was on it Memorial Day weekend heading toward the Beatrice area. And I had no problems at all. You drop down to 55 miles an hour. You go up to 70 and stretches when you go through Princeton and Cortland. And it's not like you're stopped traffic, let me just tell folks, on 77.
Right, absolutely.
Now, what are you hearing about Saltillo? I don't travel Saltillo very often.
I mean, obviously anybody who travels Saltillo regularly, it's going to put a crimp in their normal commute. I would tell you that, you know, one of the rare upsides of COVID is the fact that we are seeing lower traffic numbers. But yeah, I mean, it's just by the very nature of having to do an infrastructure project this big, there are parts of it we have to close down. And that's going to cause disruption to some people's daily lives. We're going to try to keep that as minimal as possible. I know the state's been working with the county engineer to make some of that happen. And so, you know, I think it's necessary and unavoidable.
Let me circle back to where we began in closing, Sean, and that is COVID. What does reopening look like for the county starting June 1st?
We're really just kind of beginning this conversation. Just as of this Tuesday this week, we officially created a reopening working group that's going to be headed up by our new county CIO, Dave Durbin. He starts with us in early July. And so we're going to be putting that together, and getting that up and running. But I mean, we're just now starting to have conversations with judges about, you know, when they plan to reopen the courthouse. We're just now coordinating things with the Public Building Commission. So I think we're going to see gradual reopening throughout the month of June, and I would guess pretty regular operations by mid-July. But I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's you know, we're only going to do it if it's safe, and we're only going to, you know, I mean, we're gonna take our time and we're going to do it right. We're not going to be rushed with it.
Sean, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for being here and letting me have this opportunity to talk to people.
Chair of the Lancaster County Board, Sean Flowerday, joining me on Lincoln Live.